The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. The Breeders' Cup is well and truly underway. We've already had the action on Friday evening and plenty more to look forward to on Saturday evening as well. And we spoke to Robert Kowalski over in the States. He's part of the William Hill US division. He's the race operations manager over in Vegas. And he told us about the betting over there, where the money's going, and also some of the form of the US horses. So we'll go to Robert now, and he starts with a look at the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint.
This is William Hill Racing Radio.
I'll go ahead and start off, Mark, and I could tell you about some of the prices and how they've gone here in the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, race number 7 at Santa Anita. Salentio, a short nibble from 12 down to 8. I'm also seeing a little bit of a price on Ambitious Brew from 20 down to 12. Bobby's Kitten, a little bit of a purchase down to 10-1. Let's see, who else? That's really where we're at right now on this race.
I wanted to get your thoughts on No Name Never, really, at the top of the betting. The Wesley Ward runner there. Another one we've seen over here, won the Norfolk Stakes at Royal Ascot. Won both starts in the US. Good form, but the concern for me would be the lack of course experience. The sprint course at Santa Anita is very tricky, isn't it? The downhill start, and then you've got the dogleg right and a sweeping left into the straight. And on the trends, the course form is very important. So what's the betting saying about No Name Never?
That's exactly right. That's a great point you mentioned. And this is where it comes to, what's the winner's profile for the turf sprint here? And obviously, if you raced in a previous BC race or perhaps have run, with at least one turf win this year in the 6.5 furlongs on turf, it's definitely a unique style in this particular race. So there's two horses that I kind of looked at in terms of who probably might come up with a very good performance are, let's start off with Renee's Got Zip. Renee's Got Zip is posted in 15 starts, 8-4-2 lifetime record, with 7 of those victories recorded on synthetic surfaces. So she's tried the turf just twice. And each time she's hit the board in the two most recent Santa Anita Turf Sprint editions. 2 years ago as a 3-year-old, she had a solid foundation with the Santa Anita Turf Sprint, her 7th race of her campaign, and the 3rd start off of a mid-season layoff. So last year, trainer Peter Miller had her ready off just 2 summer preps, following by a 75-day layoff. That's pretty significant there. But again, this year, Renee's Got Zip sat idle for most of the campaign, but then came off the bench to run 3rd in the Rancho Bernardo, and then won both on the Del Mar Synthetic. So there are 2 bullets in the holster. I think we're going to see a big effort. Of course, understand, she's not going to be a secret here, with a price of 5-1. Another one, here's the one that's at a little bit of a price, at 12-1, Ambitious Brew. It's a lightly raced 4-year-old. It's been competitive in each of its 8 career starts, 4 wins and 4 places. The Eddie D was the first start in a graded race in his first against Open Company. Despite that, double jump in class, he was still set away as a 2-1 favorite, perhaps on the basis of his then perfect, looks like 3-for-3 record racing on the hillside course. So I think, a repeat of that effort stalking the early pace with Smith on board would put him in the photo again and maybe even in the winner's circle. So, his last 3 races on the course have produced a career top 96 buyer bracketed by a pair of 93. So it looks like he's going to definitely be there in the running at a pretty good price.
Yeah, what price did you say he was over there?
12-1 is going to be the morning line on Ambitious Brew.
Okay, 16's over here, so maybe take advantage of that before the money comes over in the UK. Moving on to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile next, which is at 9:43 UK time. And Todd Pletcher's got a strong hand here, hasn't he? He's got Carpe Diem and Daredevil. Daredevil is the favourite with us at 11-4. Carpe Diem is 7-2. He's won 2 of the last 4 renewals, and he had last year's runner-up as well in the shape shape of Havana. So that maybe explains it. Daredevil's campaign matches some of his recent winners as well. Uncle Mo, Shanghai Bobby and Havana all won the Champagne Stakes en route to this, and that's the campaign that he's done with Daredevil. So is that reflected in the betting over there? Is he the more popular one?
That's exactly right, Mark. And a funny thing you mentioned, this Champagne, I took a look at some statistics. The winners of the Champagne have been almost a big favorite to win next year's Kentucky Derby. So keep that in mind when we're taking a look at next year's Kentucky Derby. However, let's talk about the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Very much in flux. Unfortunately, American Pharoah has been scratched due to an injury, and it does sound like we're going to see him again next year. But looking at some of the other prices, tier on one, which is Lucky Player. Lucky Player, the six, is going to be 30-1. And then we're looking at the Great War, a bit of a difference here, a 12-1. But everyone else is kind of steady in terms of the market price right now before we open come Saturday. You know, there's a thing we look at, Mark, and I'm wondering, with so much speed in this race, everyone's going to want to make that massive dash to get to that first turn. Will the 11, one Lucky Dane, be able to make it to that turn, knowing that Daredevil, who's probably even faster, is just to the outside? You know, of course, one Lucky Dane, you know, enjoyed the move from Del Mar Polytrack to St. Denis de Dirt, going wire-to-wire versus 9 in the maiden special weight foes the last time out. His 95 buyer represents an 18-tick increase over his former top. You know, is it going to be a rabbit and perhaps just keep on going? We don't know because, again, we're going to really know an awful lot once we reach that turn on the first. So it's something that I definitely want to keep my eye on, of course. That's why you're going to be able to get the price that you're probably going to. One Lucky Dane was probably looking at 10-1 for your price. Then, of course, Daredevil, the 12. This is Todd Pletcher's horse that's going to be well on the outside. Daredevil sports a perfect 2-for-2 record. A pair of very impressive tallies on wet surfaces. Again, remember that because it actually may be just a bit wet tomorrow. And that fact may worry some handicappers, you know, because one-dimensional off-track specialist that can't handle the fast two-turn setup at Santa Anita is likely to wind up with burnt toast. You know, but Daredevil may be much more than just a mud horse, honestly. You know, at first glance, his extremely high 107 buyer in the Champagne does look freakish. However, 45 minutes earlier, on that same sloppy surface, Frisette winner registered only a 78. So that's about par for a top two-year-old filly in the Belmont Mile. The filly completed her race in 34-2. Daredevil finished in 31-2. Belmont juveniles coming out of a one-turn route do not always adapt to the two-turn short stretch set up at Santa Anita, but the numbers say one can do that simply by waiting for the speed to come back to him. So Daredevil on the outside, currently 7-2 is what we're looking at there, Mark.
Okay, Daredevil 7-2 over in the States. Much shorter over here, in fact, 11-4 for us over in the UK. So that's
remarkable. No surprise.
Mm. Okay, let's move on to the Breeders' Cup Turf then. That's at 10:22 UK time. A Grade One over a mile and a half, and a race that Europe do well with. Europe have won 18 of the 30 renewals, including 5 of the last 6. But we're without last year's winner Magician, who's a non-runner in the race now. But two Europeans joint favourites this afternoon, and Flincher and Telescope are the 5-2 joint favourites. Main Sequence, a horse we used to see over in Europe, now trained in the US and unbeaten over there. Is 11-2, 10-1 for Hardest Core. Chiquita is 11s, 14-1 for Brown Panther and Imagining, and 16-1 Bar. Are we going to be undone by a familiar face over here in Europe? Is Main Sequence popular over there?
I have a feeling that's the case. You know, it's funny, people will be quick to point out that the current tally in the turf races at Santa Anita, at least, is the Euros 5 to the Domestics 4 in terms of winners. But, you know, yes, I know Magician's going to be out here, but there's just so much talent coming across that really, and I almost don't know, do we even call Main Sequence a U.S. Fred horse or a U.S. horse at this point? I mean, its last three races have been honestly really amazing. You know, it looks like it's going to probably be our top domestic marathoner. You know, as a three-year-old, he was regarded as the top U.K. runner. you know, having won the Derby trial and then finishing second to Camelot in the Derby. Going into that historic race, the colt had won all four of his starts. You know, but after the Derby, it looks like really nothing went right. You know, after one of his disappointing races as a four-year-old, you know, it was reported that he had scope dirty. You know, he was shipped to the U.S., you know, in the land of Lasix, and was also gelded. Owner Flaxman Holdings turned him over to Graham Motion, whose headquarters is at Quiet Far Hills Training Center. So with Lasix added for his return, he won a thrilling edition of the Grade 1 United Nations by a scant neck. You know, he's now rattled off two more Grade 1 scores, the Sword Dance and the Turf Classic. He's back on a winning streak, you know, but he's forced to, you know, and you know, on top of that, he's been forced to overcome a trouble start in each of the victories. Left him with plenty of work to do in this stretch. You know, in one of those victories, actually, I took a look, main sequence, ducked away from his rider's whip, but still got up at the wire. You know, he then bounded away in the run out as if he still had a lot more in reserve. You know, he's locked in successful 100-plus buyers. Main sequence is going to probably, well, it's, we already know, it's he's going to have a new rider and Velasquez on board. You know, we're hoping that Motion Tabs, you know, one familiar with the, you know, down the hill start of the BC Turf Run at Santa Anita with main sequence here. If, you know, if things go absolutely perfect for main sequence, you know, they could probably make a run at the end, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yes, yeah, like you say, he was second in Camelot's Derby over here. Never really lived up to what was expected of him over in the UK. It's as if he's turned his back and he's going to answer his critics now in the US. So it's quite an interesting story from our perspective. Let's move on to the Breeders' Cup Sprint next, the 11.01. This is a Grade 1 on the dirt for three-year-olds and older over six furlongs. And Rich Tapestry is the 4-1 joint favourite with Secret Circle over in the UK, 5-1 for Private Zone, Palace's Sixers, 11-1 for Indianapolis, and then 12-1 or bigger prices for the others. Secret Circle won this race last year, of course, and looks as if he's been trained to peak. But interesting that Rich Tapestry is the joint favourite with us over here, because it's the first Breeders' Cup runner from Hong Kong and beat Dirt Mile favourite Golden Sense and last year's winner Secret Circle in the Santa Anita Sprint Championship. So are people warming to Rich Tapestry over there?
You know, it's the same price. It looks like 5-1 on Rich Tapestry, which, honestly, why not? You know, that price does make sense. Secret Circle at plus 450 or 9-2. What am I saying? Saludos Amigos is one difference. It looks like it's a lot shorter at 6-1. Palace 6-1. And that probably is it in terms of a prices that might be a tad bit different than what you may have. You know, but, you know, we'll take a look at seeing exactly why. You know, a couple of the horses here that were circled with some real interest on the sprint race here. It's very contentious, and it's really, honestly, without a superstar. A ton of speed signed on, you know, but hey, you know, what else is new? It's a sprint after all, right? the horse that I wanted to mention quickly here is Big Mocker. Cruising along, you know, this spring, you know, when a quarter crack put him on the sidelines, he resurfaced in the Grade 1 Bing Crosby off of a 106-day layoff and whipped six rivals, including Golden Sense, while posting a 101 buyer. So Big Mocker here, I think we're going to see a really nice return off of a long layoff. So don't forget about this horse when you're handicapping the sprint. Big Mocker is the 10 with the odds right now of 12-1. That's correct. 12-1 is what I'm seeing right now. Secret Circle. Well, you know, back in 1992, Bob Baffert won his first BC sprint. He didn't bag his next one until 2007, so I'm 15 years later with Midnight Loot. And what he did with Midnight Loot looks to be like he's repeating that same magic with Secret Circle. You know, in this edition, Secret Circle, you know, scored off of just a lone prep. So he's back again with Secret Circle, this time showing just one prep in the last 8 months. Last year, the horse won his comebacker against allowance competition. This year, Baffert let him loose versus Grade 1 sprinters in the Santa Anita Sprint, and he ran third to Rich Tapestry. So, you know, last year after his, I guess we could call it prep win, the colt turned in two brisk 4-furlong works and a 47 and a 46-4 respectively. And it looks like this year, Baffert pumped in a 5-furlong and 58-4 9 days after that loss to Rich Tapestry. So, you know, Bob Baffert, he's got some good magic going on. It's definitely got listed. So I make Secret Circle a must-use in any kind of exotic wagers.
Okay, Secret Circle then popular over there, last year's winner. Moving on to the Breeders' Cup Mile next, the penultimate race on the card. That's at 11:40, a grade one on the turf for three-year-olds. And of course, it's over a mile. No Wise Dan this year. He's out with an injury. And the betting over in the UK is dominated by European runners. Toronado is 9-4. Mustajib is 11-2. 7-1 for Anadan. Veda is 6-1. 10s for Seek Again. Caraconti is 12s. Then Tom's Tribute, also 12-1. And 14-1 or bigger prices. The rest, as I mentioned, they're European runners dominating our betting. Who's the big US hope?
I'm looking here at much the same markets. I'm just pouring over the numbers. I mean, really no surprises. You know, 8 of the 10 Euro milers, you know, they're the winners, making their first start off of a 45-day layoff. So there's a great chance for many of them. The one that obviously has been, I just kind of slipped there by saying obviously, but this is a horse that's kind of shortened in price a bit, down to 8-1, and it looks like the one of the state bred horses that I like to make mention of here. With Joe Talamo on board, you know, it looks like the field contains, you know, a repeater candidate here. You know, so obviously lost twice to Wise Dan, you know, past 2 years, fifth in 2013, third in 2012. And, you know, now as a six-year-old, obviously is the fastest of the domestics, twice posting a 107 buyer. He's got four wins, two places in a show in his nine starts on the Santa Anita lawn. And he's in his 12 starts, he's got eight wins at a flat mile. So, you know, we know where to find him as they turn for home. That's for sure. You know, that's going to be his major knock. You know, obviously he's a one-dimensional speedster. He knows really no other way to win or run for that matter. You know, and that style served him well, especially in winning the Grade One Shoemaker Mile, which he won twice. But he's going to have to put in a war-type performance to make his third mile appearance a charm. He's going to make life miserable for those who try to stalk him up, you know, and I have a feeling perhaps, you know, one of the Euros are going to catch him late, you know, but if the last 2 mile additions are any indication, obviously will be a pretty decent price, Mark.
Okay, obviously a decent price there then. Yeah, relatively unconsidered in our betting, 14-1 over in the UK for obviously, and that's the main US Open then in the race view?
That is correct.
Okay, let's move on to the final race, the Breeders' Cup Classic, the big one. It's a grade one on the dirt for three-year-olds and older. It's over a mile and a quarter, and interested to hear your thoughts about Shared Belief, because he's a horse that we've heard quite a bit about over here. He's 6-4 at the top of the market, having won all six starts. Last year's champion, Juvenile. I actually went back and watched a few of his races. He slammed the UK Hope Toast of New York in the Pacific Classic on his penultimate start, and then in the Awesome Again Stakes was hampered all the way around and still won. That's almost more impressive. So what's the opinion of Shared Belief over in the States? Is he quite well hyped over there?
Yeah, I don't even know how to even begin on this one, Mark. There's you know, with so much press that's converging on this horse, everything is so heavily weighed, and it looks like it. I mean, I could almost say like it's going to be an underlay on this horse with so much interest on him. You know, bred in California, running in California, he's done everything right from the moment he's run his first race. You know, when all of the, I just got to say with the way the horse runs, Mark. You know, Shared Belief is, you know, undefeated. He's a deserving favorite. You know, but honestly, when I take a look at it, and, you know, there's so much could be read about how, you know, great a horse he is and what he's done in the Pacific Classic. You know, he's definitely a deserving favorite, you know, but again, I think he's hardly a lock because he's beating the toughest field yet. You know, as the older runners he defeated in the Pacific Classic and the Awesome Again, in my opinion, are a subpar group. While he's been completely dominant in every race, you know, he's shown that not only is he very talented, you know, but he's an extremely game winning the Awesome Again when he was deliberately forced wide out, you know, the entire race. You know, that may have been his most impressive effort. Shared Belief, 9-5, probably going to go off at 9-5, you know, when the gates open. But a horse that I definitely need to mention is one that actually ran from the East Coast, you know, in New York, you know, and that would be Tonalist. I've been high on Tonalist all year, Mark. And when he won the Belmont Stakes, you know, I think we just saw the tip of the iceberg. You know, lightly raced, I think he's now blossoming into a serious racehorse. Racing without blinkers, last out in the Jockey Club Gold Cup, and he relaxed, launched a strong rally after six furlongs, and won as he pleased. Son of Tappet gets a heavy dose of stamina through his dam sire, Pleasant Colony. His fourth dam, Missy Baba, was, you know, basically a foundation mare. So there's so many horses that have all descended from her. And here's the key, I think, behind all this, Mark. What makes Tonalist so appealing in this particular race is the distance. He's the one that will benefit the most by the classic mile and a quarter, and I think he's going to be running strongest in the last quarter mile. So Tonalist, that's going to be horse 11, currently trading at 5-1, Mark.
Okay, that is really interesting, because Tonalist is 6-1 with us, and I got the impression over here that Shared Belief was really popular in the States, and they were comparing him to the Great Zenyatta, saying he was the next big superstar of the Breeders' Cup. So interesting that opinions slightly different over there. That is interesting stuff. What's the opinion of California Chrome, by the way? Because we saw quite a bit of him in his Triple Crown bid, but things have kind of fallen apart a little bit for him lately, haven't they?
They certainly have, and I don't want to say it's a shame. It's just a product of the way the horse has been running. It's so difficult to run in the Triple Crown and expect excellence every single time out. There's a reason we got to have a Triple Crown winner in so many decades now. Chrome came off of the Pennsylvania Derby, and you know, you could watch the race time and time again. You could say he got boxed in, he got stuck on the rail. Well, this time, California Chrome's going to be well on the outside, and he can't say anything anymore. He's going to have a wide open field. He's going to be able to get into the position that he wants. Honestly, I wouldn't ignore the horse. Don't forget about the horse just because it had two poor starts in his last two. Remember what he did early on, and remember how he performed when he had that outside post. This, I think, is going to probably be a lot more indicative as he works towards it, and I think that the horse will definitely be somewhere in the top four. Am I going to say that the horse is going to win? That's a little too premature, but I have a feeling that if you ignore this horse, ignore him at your own peril. don't forget about California Chrome on Saturday.
Okay. Final question in the Classic. Just what are the US thoughts on Toast of New York, the sole European raider? Obviously, there's been no European winner since 1993, and he was no match for Shared Belief at Del Mar. So is he kind of overlooked over in the States?
Yeah, I think that there's going to be, you know, there's a whole party of people that'll say that Toast of New York is one of those dark horse type of a bet, but I think that when you look at Toast of New York, you know, he did have a great trip getting first run on Shared Belief, you know, back in the Pacific Classic, as a matter of fact. So, you know, it ran second to him. You know, he settled in behind a hot pace. You know, clearly the jockey settled him, you know, when the winner swept on by, you know, noting that Mike Smith said after the race he was clear, and it didn't really likely affect the outcome. The way the horse runs will probably assist him, if anything, again, because of the wicked pace that I expect to happen between Bayern and Moreno. Actually, now that I'm looking at it a little bit deeper, I really don't know if Bayern's going to be able to have anyone that's going to be following after him. Meaning, Moreno, I don't think, has what it takes right now to keep up the pace of what Bayern's going to pull off. So who knows? If we see a really blazing quarter and half, Toast of New York's going to probably be there again. You know, it proved that running last out in the Pacific Classic. But 12-1 is what it's trading at. I probably expect him to go off that price right now, Mark.
Okay. But Tonalist is the one for you, I suspect, there.
Tonalist, without a doubt. Yeah, I know I'm seeing 5-1, you know, plus 450, 9-2. Probably could expect the price around there as well. If, you know, all things considered, you know, the horse is, as I said, it's got the class, and no one's going to benefit more from this distance than Tonalist. So it'll be a really wonderful, you know, and a great end to what looks to be a really spectacular cup this year, Mark.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.